Hi, hello everyone, and welcome to the yet another episode of Noel Vibes, wherein we bring you the latest in the technology, and also we break down the silos and bring you the ground realities in terms of how to really tackle multiple things while you execute your technology on the ground. Today, I'm pleased to introduce you with Bhavya. Bhavya is a CTO with Noldus, and so glad to have you, Bhavya, today on.
Thanks, Mukul, and thanks everybody.
So the reason we got Bhavya today out here is because Bhavya has got immense experience in leading and executing complex technology projects. So while we talk about digital transformation, or talk about overhauling the business basis, certain technology improvements, ultimately it all boils down to how you are able to really execute the projects on the ground. Now, one of the things that we see in IT projects specifically is that the success rate is relatively low. And Bhavya actually has got the honors to sort of led the projects and overall, you know, with over 83% success rate, which is commendable. Therefore, today, you know, we want to know some of the nuances and some of the things that happened on the technology software development cycle and how some of the pitfalls could be avoided. So my first question to you, Bhavya, on this, that how to get most out of the IT software development cycle? Because, you know, everyone follows it. But ultimately, you know, there are a lot of other challenges which are there on the ground. So how do you, you know, get most out of the IT software development cycle so that business could really get a lot of leeway from that?
Okay. So basically, as we know, right, SDLC has been a popular development methodology from past, right? So we have waterfall model and we have different iterative model and all those models. Right. Okay, and now I think after 2000, right, or basically around 2006 to 2010, right, there was a focus shift towards Agile. Okay, and people said that Agile is actually the right way of doing things and it can help make your delivery faster. I think the point here that I see, right, that most of the companies or even we make that mistake initially, we are thinking Scrum or Agile methodology as you can say as a way to develop things fast, okay, or as a way to basically expect more out of the developers and the teams. But if you look at the Agile philosophy, right, it is not about doing it fast, okay, it is about doing it right with effectiveness. Okay, so our focus is basically in building the right product. So even if I say that most of the time, right, when we I look at some of the failures that I had in my projects, right. So the point was that the continuous feedback was missing, right. So we were if we talk about, right, then there was a huge project, right, where everybody was working. There was a team of 60 people who were working on that project, and everybody has a set of requirement document, and they were following that requirement document. Okay, but there was no customer feedback, right? Customer used to see the product at the end of the, you can say maybe, okay, which was almost 6 months or 9 months after the development cycle. So basically at that time, right, if you think from the perspective, right, our needs change daily, right? So how can you expect a product, right, which you have envisioned 6 months to fulfill the needs, right, which are today?
Right.
So, basically, that is the purpose of Agile, right? So you build the product, right? You get the early feedback from the customer that how you are building it and whether it suffices your need. And if it does not, right, then basically recorrect your course, make certain changes, right, that will make your product more suitable for the current needs. Okay? And that is what will drive the project success.
Right.
So build it right, build it with effectiveness rather than building it fast. Okay, so it's not a mechanism to build it fast. It is a mechanism to build it right. Okay, if you keep that in mind, right, you will be able to see more and more products are becoming successful.
All right, so that is fair perspective. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, I think the important thing is that you also need to balance it out, right? Because while you know, you're saying that the focus is more on building the product right, somewhere down the line it also need to balance out with the timeline, because everything is related with the you know, right timeline to sort of complete the project. So in that regard, how do you really balance it out? And you talked about, you know, agile and getting customer input on a constant basis. Now, most of the agile, you know, way of running the project, they do it, right? So how is it different that you have been doing? I know that you have been also trying to amalgamate various positives from the different agile, you know, technologies. So if you could just talk about those.
Okay, so basically, let's talk about Scrum, right? So if you need effectiveness, right, there are certain development practices or engineering practices that you have to follow. Okay, agile alone cannot guarantee the success of your project, right? Agile never says that how your code should look like, right? It is basically a time-boxed, iterative way of developing the product. Okay, so it is more process heavy. Okay, if you want to build your product right, it is an amalgamation of how you think agile, right? And also what are the engineering practices that you follow, right? So for example, if we talk about, right, so extreme programming talks a lot about engineering practices that you need to follow to build a product. Okay, so if you use those practices as well as agile methodology, right, you are almost 85 to 90% sure that you are building a right thing. Okay. Similarly, the other question that you asked about, right, that okay, so everything has to be time boxed. Okay, and every business has a timeline, right? So we talk about MVP, right? Most valuable product. And now think of it from the perspective of a customer. Okay, so we have been all using the software, right? So even if we talk about, right, one of the promising or basically one of the most widely used is Excel sheet. Okay, how many users do you think uses 100% of the functionality that Excel provides?
Yeah, no, that there's a point. I mean, not obviously, you know, all of it. I mean,
we don't do it, right? Yeah, even we don't do it. Okay, yeah. So think of it, right? That what are the most used items of your software gonna be? Okay, So if you know that these are the top most features, right, that I need to give my users, okay, which they will be using constantly or often. Okay, so that means that you are building a, so basically you have to prioritize things, right? The net result is that you have to prioritize things. So in Scrum also talk about prioritize according to your business needs. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's that some of the time, right, we build a lot of essential pieces that are never used. Okay, so if you can basically size your product right, okay, and say that this is the priority that I want, this is the feature that will be used most by the user, and do those priority centric development, right, you are sure to get the results. Your basically time to market will reduce because you are focusing on the features that the user want, not focusing on the features that you envision that it is going to be used.
Right, absolutely. So basically net what you're saying is that you know, while in terms of leading certain you know, business transformation or changes in technology, not all the features that maybe a laundry list that you know, organization is coming up with is the requirement. They need to sort of break it down in a way that whatever are the prioritized ones should be taken up first, and that's how you should you know, lead towards your development cycle. Now that takes me to another question, Bhavya. You know, increasingly over the last few years, we see this concept of DevOps coming into play, right? And it's sort of getting interwoven into the overall development cycle as well. How do you see the importance of DevOps in the overall, you know, software development ecosystem? And one is the theory part of it in terms of, you know, what all could be done, but what practically you see and you have done to say, really embed into your overall development cycle?
Okay, so basically, if I talk about, right, let's talk about DevOps. So most of the people think, right, that DevOps is there for managing the infrastructure, Okay, and that is not a right perception. Okay, the whole purpose of coining this term and where it originated was that developers should be basically in control of how it is deployed on the environment because they know most about their application. Okay, so they have to package it in such a way that the people, right, who are deploying it, or basically the people, they don't have to do anything, right? It is just a package in such a way that you are able to deploy it and you are able to use it. Okay, and if you know, right, basically in earlier days, right, we used to face a lot of issues, right, when we are promoting a build to production. Okay, right. There may be some integration points that will not work and all those things, right? So all those things, right, made us made developers responsible, right, to basically build their code in a way that it can be readily deployed. All configurations built in, or basically the packages that you require, right, they are already installed. Okay, and with Docker and containerization, that become easy. Okay, so if I talk about DevOps, right, so DevOps is playing a greater role. Okay, there is, if you basically ask your developers, right, to basically package it right, okay, so that is true DevOps. Okay, because what it will do is it will basically your deployment time, right, will reduce a lot,
right?
Okay. Because they are the one who knows the system, who build the system. Okay, so they should be the one that should package the system as well. Okay. Now considering another point, right? So basically, if we talk about, right, so today we are living in a distributed programming world. Okay, it's not that I have to deploy, build a single jar or war and then deploy it. Okay, today is the time, right, where people are looking to segregate their businesses into different services. Those services needs to be deployed. There are so many components that needs to interact with each other. So overall, right, the complexity of deployment has increased a lot. Okay. And I see, right, and there are many tools which are available, right? So for example, if I say, so you can optimally use your resources on a cloud using Kubernetes. Right, and if there are certain development practices that you follow, right, so basically your developers, right, take care of all the things, right, up to the Docker image, okay, and what are the configuration requirements, right, then half of your job is done. Okay, another thing is that there are a lot of tools which are available to automate certain things for you, right? So basically if I talk about, right, infrastructure as a code utilities like Terraform. Okay, so they help you actually stand up your cluster on the cloud and then deploy it on the runway, right? So basically, it is not that you are paying for the cost of the VMs every time, right? You want to make some changes, okay? Or basically, you can deploy it on the go, right? You can test it, then turn down the cluster, right? Then re-spin the cluster, all in an automatic manner. Okay, and that is what, so I remember, right, in 2012, when I was working for a product, right, they basically launched an initiative for one-click deployment, right? So I'm saying that as soon as you check in the code, right, it should get deployed. Okay, you don't need to even click, right? So basically, that is the kind of way I see DevOps pipeline to work.
Okay. Okay,
and it is not an easy job, right? I totally understand that, right? Because most of the time, orchestration, okay, is a most difficult part in any system. It is very easy to build a small system, right? But wherever, when you are looking up at plethora of components, okay, and which is the case right now, okay, where we have a plethora of services, right, serving different kind of functionalities and different integrations, okay, it becomes very difficult for DevOps to manage things. Okay, so there comes the concept of SRE, right, which is basically called site reliability engineer. Okay, and it is a different concept from your DevOps, right? It is a concept, right, that is ensuring that your sites are reliable or whatever deployments you have done are reliable, right? And they are able to make sure that it stays reliable. Okay. Right. So basically different kind of verticals will do come in, okay? But net, right, it is, I think, developers' responsibility to package their product right. Okay, so right. Because they know about the system.
Right. No, I think that's interesting. So from the overall, sort of a homework perspective, so before you actually take on any big or small, medium-sized scale project, from a DevOps perspective, do you think there are certain prerequisites that you need to sort of, you would advise for the development team to set up before they actually take up the SDLC journey?
Oh, sure. So there are a lot of things, right, that we should set up, right, which we should basically think earlier, not later in the cycle, right? So for example, I can give you a simple example, right? So if you are looking at deploying Kafka,
mm-hmm.
Now Kafka, so basically a lot of people say that it's a queue, right? But there are different mechanisms, there are different settings that you want to use to effectively distribute your messages over partitions, right? So for example, now what will happen, right? If you don't consider the replication factor, right? Your data will be on one broker, even though you have created a high availability cluster, but you have not given the replication factor of more than one, right? What will happen is that you will lose the data if one of the broker is unavailable. So basically, then what you have to do is, so basically when you are doing it, right, when you're building, and earlier we used to build jars, right? So can we basically dockerize it on the run, or basically whatever tool you are using, right? Whether you are using Elixir, or can you build the containers, right? But what about the configuration management, right? There are certain runtime configurations that I need to provide. There are certain compile time configurations that I need to provide. How to basically take care of those configurations? What about your secrets, right? How do we store secrets, okay? Mm-hmm. And how do we give it to the environment? So for example, if you have an app ID and app key, right? Or any, you are trying to use Amazon S3 or something like that, right? One thing is you configure the security groups. And if you have secrets, right? Then you have to basically make sure their secrets are safe.
Correct.
What is the logging mechanism that you have? So there is a problem because it's a, I can say there is a, so many services interacting with each other, right? How are we going to store logs for all these services, right? How do we make sure that where a request is spanning over multiple services, how do we debug that code? How do we identify which service has failed?
Right.
So basically from DevOps is not about just building the application, right? It is about how do we make life of our developers as well as the business user easy, right? How to detect things earlier in the cycle, right? There are alerting and monitoring that needs to be built. Okay. So basically, these are all aspects of DevOps, right? That has to be thought about and taken care of in the starting of the project, right? Absolutely. If I say that, okay, no, I will do it later on, right? Then you are inviting a lot of pain, right? Which you have to deal with when you are very late in the development cycle. Okay. So figure it out early, right? Implement it, and then most probably things will go smooth.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, I think. And that is what really, helps for the project success, right? So that you need to really think of the DevOps related requirement much earlier. You need to break it down in terms of things that you need in the overall project, and then accordingly then you are able to sort of integrate DevOps practice into your development cycle. So that's great. Mm-hmm. Now one of the things, if we just sort of shift gears, Bhavya, is also the concept of immutability, right? Mm-hmm. When you're actually working on the development cycle, so how you are able to really use it in the development cycle in the projects that you would have executed.
Okay, so basically immutability, right? So I remember, right? I have been a Java developer, right? Initially, and the string was an immutable class, and everybody thinks that why string is immutable. Okay, and that's the favorite question that you ask in your interviews as well.
Right.
Immutability, what does immutability give us? Okay, immutability gives us stability. Okay, how it gives stability, let me tell you, right? So if there is an object, okay, and we are not able to modify it, right? Once it is created, it is available for you and you cannot modify that, right? So there are no way where multiple threads, when they enter that object, they are going to change the state. Okay, so the idea is that the state should remain constant, right? So that we do not have any issues. Okay. And that is the key concept, right, for threat safety. Or basically, mm-hmm. you can say in a concurrent programming, or basically in a distributed programming world, that is why immutability is preferred, right? Because every thread has its own context, and if it basically modifies an object, right, which can give you wrong results, okay, or wrong computation. And See, think of it from the perspective, right? It is not a single transaction that is happening nowadays, right? So to think, there are Spark jobs, right? There are different kind of batch jobs that are running, okay? Maybe MapReduce jobs, right? That are running over time, okay? And if you figure out, right, because of the object was not immutable, right? Somebody, some of the thread, right, which did something wrong, okay? The whole processing takes a lot of time again. Okay, so it is not about that I am losing 1 second or let's say milliseconds, right? It is about sometimes I am losing hours of processing time. Okay, that has been spent. Okay, so basically, if you think it from that direction, right, then immutability is basically a need, right, which will ensure a lot of it's a good practice, right? So even with Java, we don't create pojos, right? You can create pojos, but make sure that they are immutable. Okay, and there are ways of doing that, right? Some of the languages like Scala, okay, they have a syntax of val and var, right? So val are immutable. Okay. Now another concept is basically you have to build immutable teams. Okay, what do I mean by immutable teams, right? So basically, once you establish a Scrum team, right, you have to ensure that this team is basically it is a cross-functional team, right? It is an immutable team, okay? And this team, right, will be able to, and if because see the bonding will exist between these team members, right? So it takes time to build that bonding, right? It takes time to understand each other, we as humans, right?
Yeah.
So if a team, right, if there is an immutable team, okay, I'm not saying that they have to work on the same kind of things, okay, but if this immutable team, okay, works on different products, right, it will keep your team happy, okay, and it will also give you better results, okay, because they know that how they have to help each other, okay, they know their psyche, right, and they will be able to deliver better.
Okay.
So immutability is a concept, right, that is valid for your day-to-day operations as well as for your distributed programming world.
Right. But how challenging is it, Bhavya? You talked about the immutable teams, right?
It is not challenging at all, right? So basically, if you see, right, more and more in functional programming have always been hovering about immutability. Okay. And right. if people say that immutability is difficult, right? No. So it is just a set of pattern that you have to deploy in your programming way of programming, okay? And once you practice it, right, it is not a very hard concept to understand, okay? It is a very easy concept, okay? It is nothing rocket science. So every developer can basically build immutable products. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. You talked about the hard side of the immutability and then the softer aspect of immutability as well in terms of how to leverage it for streamlining your programming and your overall development cycle. So that takes me to the last question in this episode for you, Bhavya. What are the top, obviously you would have a lot of learning from the past projects, right, that you would have undertaken. But what are top three learnings that you would like to share with the viewers? And what are the pitfalls? So that, you know, what are the pitfalls that could be avoided, right, if you undertake a medium to a large scale software development project?
Okay, so one thing, right, one thing that I have noticed that some of we being developers at heart, right, and we being technologists, okay, so we think that technology is what is making the difference. Okay, it is not, right? So always think, right, that how you are adding value, right? Technology is the secondary part, right? Technology is there to support the business. Okay, it's not the other way around. Okay, business doesn't support technology, right? Technology supports business. Okay, so that is one thing, right? If you basically build your system according to the business needs or what business wants, okay, it is more result oriented. Okay, it is bound to be more successful. Second part, right? Most of the time, right, I have think is that we basically overbuild systems. Okay. What do I mean by overbuilding system is that we basically try to put in a lot of technologies, right? Or we basically try to introduce a lot of technologies in our products, okay? We basically create a very fancy designs. We basically design an architecture, right? And try to see that, okay, we can solve this problem in that way, okay? And sometimes problem doesn't exist, right? But still we have introduced a component which is basically saying that if the problem comes, right, that is going to take care of it. So never build a complex system, right? Just think of your system. What is the simplest architecture, right, that can help you build the system? Okay, you don't have to use each and everything that is available in the market or in the technology arena that you have worked in to deliver a business problem, right? Understand the business, see what are their needs, right? And then try to map it using the simplest of the technology set. Okay, don't complicate things when they don't need not be. Okay, because technology comes with a lot of tech debt as well, right? And some of the things that you don't need, right, it is going to give you trouble.
Right.
I see. Another things that I see, right? So basically, if I look at in one of the principles, right, of a good program is also, right, that if you are not using it, then don't keep it there, right? So think of it's a redundant code, okay? And if you think that, oh, I am going to use it after, let's say, maybe in that sprint, okay, that is not going to happen, right? You have. So when that sprint will come, right, you are again going to write the same method. You're not never going to use that method. Okay. And that happens as well, right? So if we go to supermarket, right, we basically go and pick a lot of things, right, which maybe let's try it out. Okay.
Yeah.
And most of the time, right, this stuff lies at our home and we never use it, right? So don't build things, right, that you don't need. Okay. Build things only that you need.
All right. Okay. Great. So, well, I think, nice summarization. Thanks, Bhavya. So basically, we are saying is that technology is just an enabler. Ultimately, what matters is that what are the outcomes as a business you want to drive, and then you pick up the right, technology for delivering those outcomes. And second thing, which you rightly pointed out, Bhavya, in terms of being simple, build your architecture in a way that it is the simplistic, and also modular and scalable as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is more for the programmer that, you just don't get too overwhelmed with your technological know-how, but always look at from the business standpoint and deliver things which make sense for the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I think we'll just wrap up this episode of Null Bytes. Thank you so much, Bhavya, for sharing your inputs. I'm sure it's going to help businesses as well as the developers and programmers as well to take some clue out of it. We'll definitely get you for some of the other topics in the technology section within Null Bytes. But thank you so much, Bhavya, for joining the Null Bytes show today.
Yeah, thanks, Atul. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. Thanks a lot.